quasi-federal large states and smaller states with more unitary structures. And it may be that in this context, the right course for Scotland and Wales and Catalonia is to remain as they are, administrations, self-governing nations within a larger state, who nevertheless accept a common body of governance at the levels of what would be in full federations, the federal government. And all this, in principle and increasingly, governed by a conception of subsidiarity, which insists upon the allocation of authority to that level of government at which it is best exercised, with always a presumption in favor of the lowest available level, except where it can be shown that there is a common good which cannot be efficiently pursued save at the larger or largest level of authority. It is seriously argued, and I want to acknowledge this as the other side of the discussion in Scotland, that the large state option is in fact better. It secures a continuing solidarity, it is argued, between countries which have agreed to be governed together for a very long time. And it is said that Scotland fares better punching above its weight as a country part of one of the big member states of the Union than it would do if, for example, we were to seek to parallel ourselves more to this fine country, this Ireland represented fully on Commission, Council, and in the Parliament and all else. Some of us say that despite the attractiveness of the punching above the weight argument, it is noticeable that there has not been a growth of opinion in Ireland petitioning to rejoin and get to punch above your weight along with us. But that may just be to do with incidental differences which we should bear in mind but not discuss at the moment. In all this, it would be a fair question to say, well, what about sovereignty? Where do you stand on the issue of sovereignty? I mentioned earlier my deep respect for John Kerry as a scholar and for his position in the world both of politics and of academia. I'd like now to turn my attention more closely to his actual work in the field where we latterly attended it most closely overlap in relation to his brilliant short history of Western legal theory. Clearly, there's an issue about the location of sovereignty within this developing European Union, and some of the worries that we talk about one way or the other in reflecting on the case in Scotland and other parts of the UK is a worry or a concern about sovereignty. And we therefore do need to reflect upon that in the context of European Union, European community. In his discussion of the growth of theories of absolutism and absolute sovereignty, John Kerry drew attention to the fact that the Scots were precocious among assertors of the absoluteness of the sovereign power. At pages 175 to 176 of the legal theory history, he remarks, James VI was a man of considerable intellectual cultivation, if few other qualities. Say that again. He wrote in 1598 a treatise, The True Law of Free Monarchies, in which he attributed the royal sovereignty in Scotland to its original conquest. Quote, whence it follows, I'm quoting now James, not John, whence it follows of necessity that the kings were the authors and makers of the laws, and not the laws of the kings. The laws are but craved by his subjects, and only made by him at their rogation and with their advice. For albeit the king make daily statutes and ordinances, enjoining such pains thereto, as he thinks meet, without any advice of Parliament or estates, yet it lies in the power of no party to make any kind of laws or statute, without his sceptre be put to it, for giving it the force of a law. Among my many sadnesses, at not having met John Kerry, among my many sadnesses of this being a memorial lecture rather than a debate with the author of these words, is that I would like to have been able to say, but there is another side, an important other side, in the law, the true law of people.